I think that it's also important to remember that when we can have awareness from our mind. So even the word awareness can be a little bit confusing, right? So I can be aware that I'm dysregulated, for example, but that's different from bringing awake awareness, the spiritual awareness, to the dysregulation. That the spiritual awareness has the capacity to welcome everything and love all aspects of ourselves. It's like this, a formless dimension that's beyond our body, and it's actually beyond energy, that can interconnects us to all of life, of everything that has vital force inside of it. And so trying to access awareness from the mind actually limits awareness itself. And so deepening down into the body, I believe, like even in the belly, like where is awareness in the belly? Not looking down into the belly from the mind, but from the belly itself is one way to sort of start to.
Namaste, sweet souls. My name is Shilpa, and you're listening to the Omni Mindfulness Podcast. I am a mindset and meditation coach for professional women and mompreneurs. The purpose of the show is to offer stories and content that allows you to increase your awareness of your authentic self and be inspired by connecting to the personal and professional stories of other souls, souls who are walking the walk and living everyday human experiences with inspired intentions. These are the stories that will expand your consciousness and spark within you to ask, what if? Each season, I offer content to help you create a holistic lifestyle that embodies spirituality, mindfulness, mindset, and energy awareness. Through my conversations with experts in their niche area and solo casts from yours truly, my intention is to help you holistically revitalize, reset, and relax your body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and founder of Omni Mindfulness. So ask yourself, what if just one story could be the catalyst to shift the trajectory of my life? What if I become instrumental in serving other souls to realize their true self? And what if my soul's higher purpose is in the realization of Omni Mindfulness joy? It's never too late to rewrite your story. And now, today's episode. Welcome back, sweet souls. This is your host, Shilpa. I wanted to share some exciting news about a little challenge I'm running as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. So my request to you is to leave a review if you feel that you've received any value at all from these episodes of Omni Mindfulness. It would mean so much to me if you could write a little review regarding any episode that resonated with you. Please take a screenshot of that review and email it to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. In return, I will offer you my one-page guide to spark your meditation practice through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation that will guide you through an intention setting meditation, positive affirmations, which you can practice daily. I guarantee that this gift will help you start a daily intention setting practice with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, to enable you to manifest the best meditation practice. And we are now in my fifth podcast season, exploring the topic of spirituality. Each month, my guest and I delve deeper. In January, we explore spiritual entrepreneurship. In February, spiritual leadership and wisdom. And wrapping up with spiritual awareness in March. Stay tuned. And up next is Harmony Quaker. Harmony is a psychotherapist, author, and professor at Naropa University, where she teaches transpersonal counseling. She is also the founder of the Institute for Spiritual Alignment, where she trains practitioners to bridge the divide between traditional and spiritual transformation. In her first book, Reveal, Embody the True Self Beyond Trauma and Conditioning, Harmony does what most experts rarely do. She vulnerably shares her story of transformation while simultaneously empowering readers to discover their truest selves. Her newest book, Align, Living in Loving from the True Self, is now available. And now, here is Harmony. Welcome, Harmony. What a beautiful name.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited. The world of the internet has made us have the ability to connect in ways where normally we wouldn't cross paths.
Yeah, it's like magic.
Magic, it is. So this month's theme is on spiritual awareness, and I think you are perfectly aligned for this topic. And I'd love for you to share your journey, your background. Before we hit record, you mentioned you were raised in a fairly spiritual family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was raised in a family that offered a lot of opportunity for spiritual exploration. So for me to discover for myself what spirituality meant for me. My mom, she was a coach and a breath worker. And so she led a lot of personal growth workshops in our home. And when I was 6 years old, she asked me if I wanted to learn how to meditate. And so she took me to be initiated into transcendental meditation. And I was a very disciplined child, and I really loved having my own practice. And so I would go to my room by myself, and I would sit in this contemplative practice. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know, transcendental meditation is where a guru offers a mantra to repeat as you sit in meditation. And in repeating that mantra, you access higher states of consciousness. And I did, and I could hear the voice of deep wisdom within me from a very young age. And I really learned how to trust my intuition, trust my hearing, my seeing. And my parents really encouraged me to bring that with me into the family. Like they would defer to my intuition and ask me how it seemed to me. And so I really learned how to cultivate my senses at a really young age. I also, you know, as I went through adolescence, experienced great suffering. You know, I forgot. So I had this sort of anchor that was really beautiful and so sacred. And as I, you know, developed my personality, I started believing that that's who I am. And I started listening to the thoughts in my mind, believing that the truth existed in my mind. And I sort of got pulled away from the more subtle, quiet, spiritual aspect of myself. And luckily, I had a family friend ask me if I wanted to start working at her yoga studio. And I started working there and eventually got certified to teach yoga and Pilates, but I reconnected with my meditation practice at that time. And I was in college as an undergraduate. And again, I would sit in meditation for about 2 hours a day, every day, on top of my yoga practice. And again, awoke to the deeper aspect of myself by learning how to sit with my suffering. So not bypassing it in any way, but by really being with my pain from my awake awareness or spiritual awareness.
And that is something we don't see often in our culture. I think it's increasing depending on the pockets of, I would say, network of people you align with. Mm-hmm. But I really encourage those who are listening to this that in the moments of suffering, I believe that this is of great value. But even if you're not suffering, mm-hmm. why wait till the suffering, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's two parts to that. And one is every single morning I sit in contemplative practice. So every morning and every night, and I've been doing this basically my whole life, you know, moments of forgetting, but I find that if I'm not anchoring in consciously and intentionally, it's so easy to fall asleep to my true self, to who I really am. And I'm a psychotherapist and I teach transpersonal counseling at Naropa University here in Boulder. And so my life is very much dedicated to guiding people in using their pain as part of their transformation. And so even with so much intention, living so intentionally, I find that if I don't dedicate to my practices, I can just so easily start paying attention to the chatter and fall asleep again and again.
And before we hit record, I was sharing with you that I've been a part of this my entire life, but even I need to maintain the intention and consciously keep bringing myself back to a practice. I was talking to someone this morning that I have to do this every day to stay grounded. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could share a little bit more now where you are. You were mentioning you're a psychotherapist and your journey towards writing your book and maybe the title of your book.
Yeah, so my newest book is Align, Living and Loving from the True Self. And it's a self-help book that really offers a lot of transpersonal teaching pieces and exercises and also personal stories woven in to sort of anchor in to the teaching pieces that I'm offering. I actually had the seed of this book emerge inside of me when I was in my early 20s, when I was teaching yoga. And I awoke to myself again and remembered who I really am again. And I started writing this book, but I didn't have the maturity or the skill to really embody it. But it was always there inside of me, always wanting to come out. And so I went to graduate school and I actually wrote another book titled Reveal, Embody the True Self Beyond Trauma and Conditioning. And that's actually a self-help memoir. So it's my story of learning how to embody my true self. But when I started teaching graduate school, so teaching therapists how to hold space from a transpersonal lens. And for those who don't know, transpersonal is a branch of philosophy and psychology and counseling that honors states of consciousness beyond the ordinary. So we honor spiritual experiences as an ordinary part of being human and as a normal and healthy part of being human, excuse me, I misspoke there, as a healthy expression of our humanity. And it's actually the state that we return to as we move through our transformation. And so once I started teaching graduate school, I realized that the practices that I had cultivated in alone with my clients over the years, that there's like a map that I could create to teach people how to do this on their own. And so that is Align.
And when you speak of coming back to this alignment, for those who are unfamiliar with alignment, you're talking about the spiritual body or being and us aligning with that, with the more physical being, correct?
Yeah, that's really beautifully said. The way that I describe it is our vital force, when we're aligned, our vital force flows through the midline of our body. I call this the core of our being, with ease, like a pulsing river of light. So it's not like a stagnant like pull, it's like a pulsing river of light. And when we cling to our thoughts, cling to our ordinary mind or conditioned self, and reject or disown any aspect of ourselves, so the shadow, we distort our life force. And when we do that, there's a couple things happening. And one is our nervous system is dysregulated. So that's very much an embodied experience. So the vagus nerve really overlaps with where our alignment really pulses through our body. So when we're dysregulated, we're not in flow and we're not aligned. And so these are two elements. So the psychology of where our identity is seated and also how available we are for our experience in terms of regulating our nervous system really creates the internal environment to be able to align and allow our vital force, which I call the source that beats our heart, to really flow through us in a way that's aligned with the energy of the universe.
And I often refer to the alignment in terms of as I mentioned just moments ago, the different bodies, and I think not everyone is aware of those different bodies, but also our ability to, how do I express this, to regulate the energy, the life force energy, mm-hmm. that is something that is still subtle in the world that we live in right now.
Yeah, so the subtle energy body is, I believe, the most honest expression of our human form. It really offers us so much information. And, you know, when I was 6 years old, when I first started my meditation practice, I realized I could see subtle energy, but nobody else was talking about it. And, you know, I was raised by hippies, and so I would go to my crystal collection and grab a crystal and place it on somebody's heart when I could see that their heart center was cloaked by what I call emotional energy pollution, which is that dark, vaporous energy of the subtle body when there's unresolved experiences that we're holding on to that we need to metabolize. And I would instruct them to breathe into their heart, to try to get them to clear their energy. And then I would feel so just dissatisfied when it seemed to not work. So I had this full circle moment when I was in my private practice, you know, probably about 10 years ago or so, when I was still a new clinician. And I realized I could still see subtle energy. I had just forgotten that I could see it. And I recognized that it was the most honest part of what was happening in a session. It gave me and my clients so much information about where the real work was. And so the subtle energy body is so profound, and I actually believe everybody can see it. And I have an example that I teach my students, which is if you walk into a bar that is really seedy, like a really seedy bar, even if nobody's in that bar, you walk in and you can feel the density of the energy there. It's dark and it's kind of heavy and thick. If you walked into a retreat center in Costa Rica, that where all this healing happens and dance and they tend to the land as sacred and they eat vital food and maybe it's even on a crystal grid, you walk in and you can feel the vitality of that place, right? And that's just an expression of subtle energy that I think we all have a reference point to.
And is that just out of curiosity? Because I'm often learning more from my perspective, being raised Hindu, there was the doctrine part that I learned about. Now, on my own, I'm more into the whole holistic approach. But how does this fit in with when you were mentioning the crystal? Is that tied with Reiki? Just out of curiosity.
You know, I actually look at it more through the lens of our life urge versus our death urge. So when we aren't calling, and I think I'm understanding your question correctly, but when there's a lot of stored emotional energy pollution, and there's a lot of like thick, dark, vaporous energy that is wanting, I believe, to be cleared, in order for a person's vitality to flow more fully, that there's two choices that can happen there. And one is continue to do death urge behaviors. Like at that CD bar, there's a lot of death urge behaviors there, people engaging and consuming elements that will suppress their energy, keep them the same, that aren't curative or healing, versus somebody who goes to the retreat center in Costa Rica and is really actively calling on their life force to purify and clear what is being stored in their emotional energy body.
Yeah. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now connecting that back to the true self, and in your book, the title is Align Living and Loving from the True Self. Maybe you can share the catalyst of what inspired you to label it as such, but also write it.
Yeah. The catalyst for the title of the book is twofold. And one is my own journey of recognizing how I limited myself by believing that I was my personality, by following the patterns of my conditioned self, and how much awareness and courage and practice it took for me to discover how to truly embody and and come into the relational field, like with my husband, with my children, with my clients, with anybody I encounter, from the essence of who I am, not from the conditioned patterns that I developed when I was younger. And so then working with my clients and really developing an attuned eye for how a person leaves their healthy, aware state, how they fall asleep to the true self, to their spiritual awareness, right? And start believing that they are their conditioned patterns. And in my work with clients, utilizing that awareness as the catalyst to bring them back home to themselves, like they have that within them already. And so in writing a line, I wrote it both for my students and for my clients. And so there are a lot of high level concepts. I teach Gestalt counseling at Naropa. And so there are a lot of theoretical concepts of Gestalt in the book, and along with the spiritual essence and the subtle energy body, but also how to bring that into your most intimate relationships. Because the closer we get to intimacy, the more clear we can become on how we've actually closed the doorway to our heart. Like, we can see it more clearly the closer we get to intimacy. Like, if we're using our strategies or trying to please our partner or blaming our partner, like all these little things that people do in relationship, and how to actually stay seated and allow the vitality to keep flowing through us in alignment the closer and closer we get to intimacy.
Wonderful. And intimacy may not necessarily even be about the intimacy between a partner, but the intimacy with our heart space, correct?
Correct. But also just emotional intimacy with other human beings. And so much of the work is, I'm a unique individual, and yet there is no other. And this can become a very murky place for people, of like honoring that transpersonal spiritual thread of oneness, but also honoring that I am an individual and I have my own needs and desires and values.
As a soul.
As a soul, yes.
Yes. And I've recently been studying heart math. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that the more coherence there is between our mind and our heart, and then that coherence state, embodiment of that, then helps us connect into more coherence with others around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one way that I describe it is that when our thoughts, our heart, and our will are aligned with the truth of who we are, when we're congruent with our thinking and our heart space and our action, our will, that's when we're truly in alignment.
Absolutely. And do you believe that this alignment is a path to, say, healing?
I think it's the expression of health. And so I think on the journey of healing, it's where we return to.
And I like the fact that you've connected it back to the overarching theme of this month, which is really, it's about awareness. Often we forget, you mentioned a few times that through your life journey, you have to sometimes remind yourself of your higher self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that that's part of the human condition, to fall asleep and wake up again, like many, many times. And over time, the spaces between sort of get shorter and we stay awake for longer periods of time and can sustain awake awareness as a stage rather than a state.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I experienced that my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult, even if you're on the, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, that there are challenges, because the conditioning of our mind and the patterns of behavior or habits, as well as maybe even cultural, some mm-hmm. of the influences have you thinking or believing you are this, but what you really are is just so much more.
It's so much more than the mind can even conceive, right? Yes. Like from the ego space, we can't actually conceive of how grand and infinite we truly are.
It is really challenging. And like you were saying, we go through moments of forgetting and becoming aware. Just a few days ago, I had dropped a practice that I do, not conscientiously, just getting overwhelmed with life, mm-hmm. which is Qigong. And mm-hmm. I finally did it yesterday with discipline and focus. And I felt like this exhilarated energy, this focused, it's hard to even describe, the subtle force of vitality mm-hmm. that I had missed for weeks because I dropped a practice that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stagnancy that can happen when we forget those sacred practices.
Yes. Now, what kind of maybe two or three maybe examples you can give for the listeners that maybe in your book that are simple things that they can adapt in their life to reconnect to that alignment?
Mm-hmm. I think the most accessible, the first one that I'll share is really tracking their life urge behaviors. So eating food that has a lot of vitality in it, rather than foods that are highly processed, and, you know, moving the body and exercising, doing those life affirming behaviors like really allow us to embody our true self even more. Another practice that I created for myself, and this is as a Gestalt therapist, I create experiments for myself. And so I think that when a person is frustrated about a pattern that they keep doing, but they want to change, that it's a perfect opportunity to create sort of a social experiment for yourself, where for a certain amount of time, just don't do that thing. If you're going to go, let's just say, to a party, and you know you typically do this one behavior, just create the intention for yourself at the party: I'm not going to do this one thing. I don't know what I am going to do, but I'm not going to do that. And in creating that experiment, we sort of rearrange the way that we're relating to the world around us. And it gives us space to feel the dysregulation that's actually beneath the patterns, which would be the third thing that I would offer, which is learning how to be available for our own experience. Like really, I see other clinicians do this often, where people can so frequently mistake nervous system regulation for suppression. So somebody feels dysregulated, they want to feel regulated, so they start resisting their dysregulation, saying they're trying to regulate. Right. So they're resisting their experience rather than being available for it on the level of sensation. So I believe that everything that we feel is valid, but the narratives that we create in an emotional state are likely not valid. And humans interrupt their ability to regulate by looping in thought, by listening to what they're thinking. And so by paying attention to the level of sensation, we actually shift into the subtle mind. And we become more in touch with direct experience, which brings us to be more present, right? And so then we can feel what's happening in our body, and we can ask ourselves what it is that we need. And this is how we start to create a secure connection with ourselves, which I actually believe is the foundation of creating a sense of alignment through our whole being.
And does that also connect with meditation as a practice? Because that is the essence of meditation, which is really ideally bringing yourself back to the present moment.
Yeah, you know, I am obviously such a fan of meditation, and it's part of my practice, so absolutely. And there's something unique about the interpersonal situation that brings up things inside of us that we don't feel when we sit alone in meditation. So there's something about being in relationship with other people that cause us to feel differently in our body. And this is because of the social engagement system of our vagus nerve, which is the foundation of our autonomic nervous system.
So I think what you're describing is that when we are in the sort of energetic vibrational level of other souls and beings, that may first affect our brain because of our stories and our mind, but then it also affects our nervous system.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the difference, though, is that learning how to be available for our experience while we're engaging with other people, it's like, can be kind of tricky because that's where the patterns to try to find connection can really be activated, as opposed to sitting alone in meditation. Both are important. They're both mindfulness practices, but one is a solo mindfulness practice and then one is interpersonal.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, how do you approach that interpersonal engagement when it affects you on an emotional level. Like, let's say it's some family member that triggers you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I think what's important for people to remember is that nobody makes us feel anyway, right? So even the family member doesn't trigger us, we feel triggered. So the language actually really matters when we're acknowledging that everything that we feel and see and experience is through our lens, we can become self-responsible in terms of showing up for ourselves. So when I'm emotionally activated, what do I need from myself, right? The mind can say, I need them to be different, but they're a mirror. They're showing me something inside of myself that needs to be integrated and seen and loved and cherished by me, not by them. So the other thing that's important to remember is that regulation isn't better than dysregulation. Regulation allows us to be clear, to rest, to access higher consciousness, because when we're dysregulated, our higher consciousness actually shuts down and we go into survival, right? So when we're regulated, we can access higher states of consciousness. But when we're dysregulated, if we're able to be available for our experience, we can integrate whatever is activated inside of us if we really show up for ourselves. If we start to follow that fight, flight, freeze, fawn response and need my whoever family member to be different, then I'm staying looped in my trauma response rather than coming back home to myself.
Yeah, I've been following some individuals in this space as well who often talk about feel the feelings and acknowledging it in your body, fully embodying it, because if you don't, then it becomes those blocked energies that turn into things that are unpleasant.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's really based in the neuroscience of it also, of emotions equal integration. It's really where we come back to a sense of integration and wholeness when we're able to feel what our emotional body is expressing and honor that our nervous system has a wisdom and that we can learn from it and we can touch ourselves in a deeper, deeper way by listening to what's happening.
Any techniques that you recommend for those who may not have a meditation practice, but are aware that they'd like to, I would say, take not control, but have a better grasp over self-regulation and how to do that?
Yeah, there's two sort of different ways to approach it. And one is top down, right? So if I notice that my mind is looping in thought and starting at the top and moving my way down to the body, I can ask myself, what feeling is beneath that thought? Because anytime we're looping in a thought, we're feeling something beneath that. And by turning towards the feeling body, we actually stop looping because we can't do both at the exact same time. And so we can come into the emotion and then ask ourselves, what does this emotion need from me? And give that to ourselves. The other piece of that, though, is if we're aware that we have a feeling, if we can just stay at the level of sensation, I can't tell you how many times I've stopped asking people what they're feeling because they always tell me what they're thinking, right? Because there's just this like sort of orientation of up here in the mind rather than actually in the sensation of the body. So remembering that the emotion has a sensation, that sensation has the vibration, and that's where we can actually clear our subtle energy body and come back to more clarity.
I agree. And that makes so much sense. I really enjoyed that feedback as well. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to share about your book?
You know, a line is sort of the culmination of 20 years of both my own personal development and my learning in the field of psychology. And it really bridges the spiritual, like this very sort of transpersonal concepts that aren't typically taught in psychological spaces as I teach, bridging that with psychology. And so it really maps out for a person how to be more aware of their psychology, their nervous system regulation in service of honoring their spiritual self.
Well, I know for sure, even with my own practice, that there's always room for growth, and having that perspective of how the, I would say, the mind can affect our nervous system and how we can take charge more proactively to regulate it. That's something that for sure I know my audience would appreciate. Any parting words on overall the concept of spiritual awareness? Because there's so many connotations around spirituality, and just to demystify that term, but also your take on it.
Yeah, so for me, spirituality is a felt sense. It's an experience that's unique to all of us. And so often giving language to something so so intimate to our being can kind of limit it a little bit. So learning how to give language to something that's so expansive takes a tremendous amount of dedication, I believe, to really embody that spiritual awareness. I think that it's also important to remember that when we can have awareness from our mind. So even the word awareness can be a little bit confusing, right? So I can be aware that I'm dysregulated, for example, but that's different from bringing awake awareness, the spiritual awareness, to the dysregulation. That the spiritual awareness has the capacity to welcome everything and love all aspects of ourselves. It's like this, a formless dimension that's beyond our body, and it's actually beyond energy, that can interconnects us to all of life, of everything that has vital force inside of it. And so trying to access awareness from the mind actually limits awareness itself. And so deepening down into the body, I believe, like even in the belly, like where is awareness in the belly? Not looking down into the belly from the mind, but from the belly itself is one way to sort of start to conceptualize awareness separate from attention.
Yeah, I, it's a subtle thing, and I understand what you're saying, though, that awareness, like even when I do Qigong, often we talk about the energy in our center and the chakra, and mm-hmm. often that gut knowing, but that's not from here.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Absolutely.
In the logical world, the Western world, even my background, which was in computer science, I'm often here, mm-hmm. but my practice is telling me to trust the heart, to trust that gut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to going deeper into your book and learning this techniques and practicing them, because I believe there's always room for growth.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I think that as a lifelong learner, it's really important to remember that there are no mistakes, and there's no even like backtracking. It's like we're either stepping forward consciously or we're stepping forward unconsciously, right? And we can learn and grow and deepen every step of the way.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a lifelong learner, and that more, again, going back to the spirituality of it, in the expansive state when we're expanding, there's so much awareness of knowledge that we need to become cognizant of.
Mm-hmm.
That's beyond just the cerebral brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the inherent intelligence.
Yes. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. Perhaps I can have you back in the near future on a similar topic.
I would love to be back. And I had so much fun connecting with you and talking with you about this. Thank you so much.
Oh, I am so grateful, Harmony. I just love your name. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, have you soon. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description, and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to practice Omni Mindfulness.